Hello, you are listening to the Bethel Atlanta Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message. For more information about Bethel Atlanta, visit www.bethelatlanta.com.
Oh, good morning. It's been fun around here. Did y'all love Pastor Michael last week? Wow. I'm just still reveling in it all. It's so good. Oh, well, I have had this word on my heart for about 3 or 4 weeks, and it's just being highlighted in all different forms and fashions. Pastor Michael hit on it at the end of his sermon about perseverance. I'm getting scriptures just texted to me out of the blue. So I'm sharing on perseverance today, and that's kind of a first for me. It's not a normal message of mine. But the Lord's in it, so we're going to go after it, okay? I've heard the definition of perseverance to be bearing up under a difficulty by depending on God's strength. Okay, so that's what we're talking on. And I have a goal today that we're going to raise awareness that sometimes in the middle of our process, God is doing something that we don't see. He's doing something in us, through us, around us that we might not be aware of. And, you know, I got the privilege of talking to many of you and hearing your stories. And I would say a lot of us in the room, myself included, are in the thick of it. You know what that means? Like, kind of, whoa, life. And it's not a I used to kind of think, oh, sometimes I'm down and my friend's up and they'll just pull me on up. And sometimes I'm up and they're down and I pull them all up. And I'm like, oh, a lot of us are in the thick of it. We're in the middle of a struggle that's real. And I'm just starting to recognize in my own life that he's in that struggle right along with me. And these situations, they're work challenges, they're finance challenges, there may be relational challenges in the room, there may be health challenges. Fill in your own blank. But I'm asking this crazy question that can we get to a place that we count it all joy? Can we get to a place where we are celebrating what we're in the middle of? It's biblical, but it is so challenging. And I'm going to let you in my journey in real time. It would be way more fun to be up here on the other side of a journey and be like, oh, look at the victory. Y'all want to celebrate with me? This is how I did it. You can get out of it too. That would be a lot more fun of a posture. This is what it looks like to persevere, and now I'm on the other side. I don't think that was what the Lord's asking me to do in this moment. And I want to bring you along my journey because I think there's breakthrough in the vulnerability. There's breakthrough in the story, and there's a coming alongside of that the Lord's inviting us into. And so as I walk through being diagnosed with MS, you know, 11 months ago, as we walk, me and Brent walk through a need for financial miracles and breakthroughs, it's not fun to share from weakness or lack or something non-finalized. But there's a power in that journey, and there's a deposit of courage that will come into the room today. The Lord, I had a very significant dream 2 nights ago, and I felt this deposit of courage. And I, you know, in the middle of the night, I was given interpretation of my dream, interpretation of a dream that came 1.5 years ago that links to this. And I felt the Lord just say, plop, there's some courage. There it is. And so it is for the taking if you want it. So my first scripture is James 1:2-4. Okay, if you want to turn there, you can. If not, I'll read it to you. Consider it all joy, my brothers and sisters, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. Let endurance have its perfect result so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Consider it joy. Who's joyful in the trials? Who's lying? Okay. Where are we at in the trials? Consider it joy, my brothers and sisters, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance or perseverance. And let it endurance have its perfect result so that you may be complete and perfect, lacking nothing. So the Lord's forming something in us. He's building our faith so that we may be complete, lacking nothing. This complete word means whole. It means complete in every part, sound, perfect in the entirety. So what does it look like for you to be whole? Wholeness of mind, body, soul, spirit. Romans 5:3, it says, not only that, but we celebrate in our tribulations or sufferings, knowing that tribulations bring about perseverance, and perseverance proven character, and proven character hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who He's given us. Okay, it's quiet. I told you I don't preach on this much. So the tribulations produce in us perseverance. And that perseverance perfects our character and brings about hope. And the hope is a hope that doesn't disappoint. How desperate is the world for a real hope? How desperate is our schools, our neighbors, our friends, our coworkers for a real, grounded in high character hope that doesn't disappoint? What would it look like to be that hope carrier where this hope is like, oh, this hope's been tried in the fire. This hope is real. It can handle disappointment. These verses are in the Bible. They're not my favorite, but they're there for a reason. Consider it joy when you face trials. We rejoice in our tribulations or our sufferings. I don't want to lose sight of what He's forming in me. He's forming something in the trials. He's forming something in the tribulations, the sufferings. I don't typically consider it pure joy. Confession. I often want to run and hide and find my way out of it and arrange my life so it doesn't hurt. And I'm really good at that. And there's another way. Like, the Lord is forming something in the tension. And we, you know, I love the, hey, we're going from glory to glory. What if what He's forming in me is a new glory? What if His version of glory to glory is building the character that holds this hope that cannot be disappointed? I've had a few moments, you know, I've been like sitting with this message that you're getting led into in real time for a few weeks, but I've had a few moments this week where I'm actually like, oh, I have a little bit of joy in this struggle. It's very foreign, but I'm like, oh, God, I feel like You're doing something on my insides. Oh, okay, that's what that feels like. It's so uncomfortable. And it's also so beautiful. Now, I've also swayed to the whole 180 and hated every minute of the trials and tribulations this week. So it really depends on when you see me and ask me. But I've had a taste of what that feels like. And I'm like, oh, this is holy. And it's counter to what I think should be right. We live in a microwave credit card culture. Perseverance is not embedded into our culture like it was in our great-grandparents' days. If I want food fast, I go to that microwave and I make it. If I want something that I don't have money for, I use my credit card and I have it. There's no waiting. There's no delay. There's not perseverance built into our culture. Chris Vallotton says, instant gratification robs us of perseverance. It's a different mindset. We didn't have a microwave for 10 years. And, well, we kind of did, but we had renters in our basement. So I didn't want to bother them to go to the microwave, except when I made cookies almost every week. It was every night, but she made the batter every week. And so only then would I go and melt the butter in the microwave, because it was the instant gratification. And everything else, we're like, oh, we'll just throw it in that little mini oven. There's a different mindset of, we're just going to wait it out. Wait it out. And we haven't built that muscle to the same degree that our grandparents and great-grandparents did. So often I feel like something's wrong when I'm feeling pressure. Is anybody with me? So Brent and I this week, we felt some pressure in different areas. And literally every night I'm trying to solve the pressure. Like, well, we could rearrange our schedules and our kids can go this and that way. And I'm finding myself trying to solve my way out of pressure. And then I heard the Lord last night, well, what if I'm doing something in you in the pressure? What if I'm forming something in you from whatever pressure you're living in? Will you persevere? Will you bear up under the burden with the Lord's strength? Because me trying to control the situations doesn't feel like me partnering with the Lord and what he's doing. So there's tensions I'm living in while trying to persevere. One is, healing is for today. It is my portion. He came to give life abundantly. It says that the devil came to steal, kill, and destroy, and the Lord came to give life and life to the fullest. That's the truth. My reality, my circumstances speak differently. So one of my greatest joys is to run. And I cannot run right now because I can't lift my leg very well. And my physical therapist said, well, if you want to run, you can push a stroller. I have no baby. Y'all, I have a stroller thanks to someone's generosity, but I have no baby to put in the stroller. Can you imagine the looks I'm going to get? My dog will not sit in that stroller. I'm like picturing all the scenarios like, okay, are people going to stop me and say, you forgot your baby? This is me on the trails. I'm like, I don't know how this is going to work. So one of the greatest joys of jogging without a stroller is not in my life right now. May that you may have life and have it to the fullest. To me, running in the woods is part of life to the fullest. It might not be for you, and that's totally understandable. So now my version of exercise is the doctor telling me to practice balancing for 30 seconds at a time. This is a far cry from climbing mountains. Okay, what does life to the fullest look like? Because there's a word that says... The devil came to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come to give you life and life to the fullest. Me balancing is not the fullness of my life in my measure that the Lord has given me. But I am persevering and bearing up under the weight of the pressure and depending on his strength in it all. I'm definitely, we all have our own stories, but I have the microphone, okay? So I know it's like, oh, that's really sad for Lauren, but like, I know we all have our own stories. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And I feel the Lord say, in this pressure, is your identity in running and doing those hardcore athletic endeavors? Because I really love that and like, oh, I'm a trail runner. Or is your identity in me? It's that pressure gets to refine me and form something in me that wasn't there before. And clearly, God did not bring sickness. There's no question on the table, okay? However, he's conformed something in me in the midst of. There's a battle in our mind with perseverance. When I first got diagnosed, I was in the middle of a pretty intense flare, and so fatigue was accompanying it, and my mind was in bad places. we have a job to do to manage what's going on in our head, and I definitely didn't do that well. You can picture two things. You can picture, the first month, I'm like, picturing a wheelchair and my children's weddings, to be really frank. And I'm like, this is so painful. Or I can meditate on me running through the woods because there's great joy and great promise in that. And the fight's worth fighting. We are in a fight, and if we forget it, we are missing it. And there's a battle in our mind, and we get to win that battle or lose that battle. But I get to persevere in that battle. In 2 Corinthians 10, 5-6, it says, we destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Every thought has to be taken captive. I should have Googled it, but you know how many thoughts are running through my head in a day? It's crazy. That is a proactive perseverance to take every thought captive. We have to. Tearing down lofty things, we take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Is Christ in that wheelchair picture in my head? No. Is Christ in that running picture? Yes, because that's fullness of life. Is Christ in dreading around finances and what could be? No. Is Christ in my sanctified imagination of, God, what do you want to do? What do you want to do in our business? What do you want to do? What's your promises over this? Faith does not deny a problem's existence. It denies its influence, Bill Johnson. Faith does not deny that the problem's real, really there. Okay? But it doesn't give it influence. It doesn't give it a place to rule, control, affect, influence my life. If we lie about the problem, we're doing everyone an injustice, especially ourselves. If I don't go to the doctor, that's just a really bad idea. If I don't go to the doctor, and in 6 months I'm feeling perfect, is Jesus getting his full reward because I denied the existence of a problem? I'd rather say, hey, I was diagnosed with MS. Hey, now I have no lesions on my brain. If I don't know the truth, I gotta say what it is. Faith isn't ignoring a problem. I know it exists, but I know there's a greater truth. I know it exists, but I'm not going to live under its influence. You know, I found myself in this season leading from a place of weakness as opposed to strength. You know how much more fun it is to lead from strength? Anybody with me? I got it figured out. But I think, I know that the Lord is breaking off performance in my life. And my breakthrough is your breakthrough. And your breakthrough is mine. And my breakthrough is ours. And ours is mine. We just have this reciprocal effect. So I'm not doing it just for myself. And you're not either. You're doing it for your family, for your friends, for your children's children. We are breaking the back of performance for the next generation. Performance-driven thoughts kind of sound like, oh, you're not the best speaker. You should just give the mic to somebody else. I've had plenty of those. What else does it sound like? It sounds like, oh, you need to have it all together to lead. These are lies from the enemy. Oh, your body's struggling. You can't keep up with what you used to be able to do. Oh, that's true. But is that going to dictate what I choose to do? In 2 Corinthians 12, 9 to 11, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. He's resting there. He's resting in the discomfort. His power rests. There's a breakthrough in that. So, I'd ask us all, what's our posture in this season? Is it one of surviving or thriving? Take your situation. We all have them. And fill in the blank. Am I surviving or am I just ready to get to the end of this? Oh, I'm just so ready for this new job. I'm so ready to get my healing. I'm so ready to get, you know, this whatever, fill in the blank, done with. I'm just going to survive it and come out the other side. Or, okay, God, I'm so ready for breakthrough, but you are forming something in me that might not ever be formed otherwise. You are turning up, you're causing my insides to adjust in ways that nothing else, that wonderful life might not have them do this to. He's perfecting our faith in this whole thing. Even when I'm not making sense of it all, like, why am I sick? It doesn't even make sense. But I have faith even when I don't understand. And in James, he says, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have a perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Wow, God, what are you doing in my faith right now? Maybe when I don't understand, I still have faith. And you're building this endurance and perfecting me so I can be complete and whole and lacking nothing. What does it look like to be lacking nothing? What does it look like that he's forming in me? Thriving looks like, hey, these tribulations are driving me to persevere. And this perseverance is building my character. And this character is growing my hope to where I can be a person who hopes that doesn't disappoint. And I heard the Lord a year ago, can we be people who dream as if we've never been disappointed? That takes a character to withstand life's disappointments. We have to carry a hope that is a hope that doesn't disappoint. And that's only built through this perseverance leading to character, leading to hope. You know, this week, me and Brent were praying into this business meeting he had, and I had crazy hope that it would turn out so good. Like, I was believing ostentatious beliefs. They fell so flat. Door slammed closed. And I felt foolish for a minute putting my faith and hope into that. And then I remembered, okay, you're living your message. Like, Lord, you're building a character that can hold this hope that does not disappoint. It is not foolish for me to throw my faith and my hope into the impossible. And this hope that does not disappoint is getting forged and formed in me on the regular, and I'm just embracing it. And you know what we're going to do next week? We're going to hope again. We're going to hope again in the next business thing. We're going to hope again in the healing. We're going to, you know, we're not going to just sit back and take it. But we also are going to say, I'm persevering. I am building my character. It is getting forged in me, this hope that will not disappoint. Is my confidence, so I had to ask myself this with me and Brent. I was like, is my confidence in the outcome or in Jesus? Because if my confidence is in the outcome, it just got shattered by that door slamming closed. If my confidence is in him, I can hope again and again and again and again. We are being forged in a fire. I am being forged in a fire. I got a word from Chris Valentin last month, and he said, you're getting forged in a fire. Like, this illness is forging you. And I'm like, oh, it is. And I looked up how knives are made, and knives are made, I'll just read it. The fire that forges steel is called, quotation mark, creation in fire, quotation mark. It's a process in which roaring red massive steel, which is heated to 1,000 degrees Celsius, is formed into a knife by simply hammering through experience and technique. There's a creation in fire that happens to us. What's he forging in you in the fire? And am I going to thrive in it or just rush to the end of it? Can Jesus get his full reward? He's forging me in the fire. He's forging you in the fire. There's a creation in the fire. I've been meditating on Psalms 23 for a long time, and I heard Pastor Bill speak on this one element to it, and it struck me. There's Psalms 23, I think it's 5 or 6. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. So this table is actually meant to be a meal that nourishes us. There's an invitation that the Lord puts a banquet table in front of us, and he says, here's a meal, you can eat it, and your enemy has to watch. And so, am I looking in the eyes of the enemy or in the eyes of Jesus at this table? Am I nourished through the food that the Lord is placing before me in the presence of my enemies? Where is my perspective in this? Whose eyes am I looking at? And I believe he's inviting us to a table in the presence of our enemies. And we have an option of what we focus on. And he's trying to nourish us in the fight, in the fire, in the wrestle, in the tension. He's building something in us if we let him. I want to partner with that. and not run from it. Okay, I'm going to pray over us. Jesus, we love you, and you're so good. We thank you that your promises are true, whether our circumstances line up yet or don't. God, I thank you that you're forming something in the fire. You're forming and forging and refining and beautifying and taking us from glory to glory and just building something that can't be shaken. Thank you for the character you're building. Thank you for the strength you're building. Thank you for the faith and the hope that doesn't disappoint. Let us be those people, God. Let us be those crazy people who have this strong, strong character in the midst of the storm and this hope that won't be disappointed because it's in you, not in the outcome. Yeah, we love you, Jesus. Thanks. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Sermon of the Week. To stay connected with Bethel Atlanta, visit www.bethelatlanta.com.